Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1 this evening. Just before you're turning there, I just want to give a special word of welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Byron Jacoby with us for the first time. After their wedding last weekend, Byron and Lauren, it's good to have you amongst us tonight. Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll begin reading from verse 2. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. This is what he says. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption, they have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten any more? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities burnt with fire, your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just so far this evening. In preparing the sermon, I realized that I have been a parent now for almost 8 years. For those of you who don't know, I have three gorgeous little boys. They are gorgeous, aren't they? Proud of their dad. I love them to bits. They bring so much joy to my life every day. But part of why I love being a dad to these little young guys is because of what they teach me about who God is and what He expects of me as His child. Now that might sound strange to you, three little terrors, although they're gorgeous, all under the age of eight, teaching our pastor who God is and what God expects of us. But before you start looking for a new pastor, let me explain. What these little guys do is help me identify with passages that we've just read this evening. Passages where God Himself is speaking to Israel like a parent would to their children. If you look at verse 2, God calls the heavens and the earth to listen to what He is going to say to them. Either it's because He's going to say something really important, or because, as parents would know, sometimes when you speak to your children, you only think the heavens and the earth can hear you, because they're not. But He says to them, I have reared children. I have brought them up. God is saying, listen, I am a parent to you. I'm a parent to my people Israel, and I have raised you up. I have brought you into this world. I've poured my life and my soul into you as children, to be my children. I've poured my life and I've made sacrifices for you, and I've done everything that is the best for you, so that you would be able to be the children that I want you to be. And so with my sons, I can identify with how God speaks of as a parent here to His children. I can identify with how God is feeling towards His people, towards His children as a parent. Like any good parent, I also want the best for my children. I've poured my life and my soul into them so far, and I've given them instruction. I've tried to nurture them along the ways in which I want them to go, so that they might be the young men that I so desire them to be one day. But when they behave in a certain way in response to who I am and what I've poured my life into their lives for, I begin to understand how God feels when He's done the same with us, how He's poured His life into our lives as His children, how He has made great sacrifices to make you and I the people that He has created us to be. And so my sons teach me a lot about how God feels and how He responds to our behavior in regards to what He has taught us and been for us. Now, if you're a parent here this evening, you'll be able to kind of identify with God's heart here for His children. And if you're not a parent just yet, don't just switch off and think, well, this is not for me. Because we want to teach you this evening and give you a glimpse into this fatherly heart that God has got for all His children, for you and for I. This passage talks about God's heart towards His children when they have rebelled against Him, when they've turned their back on Him and done things that God is not pleased with. Again, verse 2, we read, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. Immediately, God has hit a chord with me as a parent, because believe it or not, the pastor's kids aren't these incarnate angelic beings that don't do anything wrong. No, they're little terrors sometimes that rebel against Dad. And so I can understand and I can identify with God sometimes here as He's talking to us as children, His children, who've gone against what God has poured into their lives and instructed them and taught them about how to live these lives for Him. I can identify with and learn here in this passage about God's heart when we as His people rebel against Him. I can see three things that I can identify with as a parent that I'm going to try and help you identify with this evening about how God relates to us as His children, or us as His children, as a parent would when we rebel against Him, when we do not do the things that please Him. First of all, we learn that God gets very upset when His children rebel against Him. God gets very upset when we do the things that He hasn't told us and instructed us to do. When my boys rebel against mom and dad, all that we've told them and taught them to do, I don't know, as a parent, something in my heart gets ignited and my blood boils in anger towards them. And if you're a parent here this evening, you'll know how that feels. I become angry and upset with them because of how they've treated me. Their father, the one who only wants the best for them. But how they've treated me with disrespect, as if they don't even know me and know what I desire for them. I become upset because of what they become in doing what they have done. They've become not my children. Because my children will behave in a certain way. My children will live in a certain way in response to who their dad is and who mom is and how they want them to live. And when they act in rebellion towards mom and dad, they become children that we don't know because these aren't my children. Become upset because they begin doing foolish things. They know better than that. They know better than rebelling against mom and dad. Because they know that that brings discipline. It doesn't bring dad's favor or mom's blessing on their life. No. It brings mom's and dad's discipline and hardship on their lives. Yet they continue to rebel. They become foolish in their rebellion. We see this in the passage this evening, that God feels the same when we rebel against him. When we do the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, he gets upset. He gets upset because of how we treat him as our father. Well, how do we treat him when we rebel against him? Well, verse 3 describes it for us. The ox knows his master. The donkey knows his owner's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And when we rebel against God, we treat him as if we don't know him. We don't know what he desires for us. We don't know what his best is for our lives after he has poured his love and grace into our lives and taught us in his word what is best for us. God compares his rebellious people to two of the not so intelligent animals in the world out there today. The ox and the donkey, who know their masters. They know where to go to get food and to receive the favor and blessing of their master. But God says, my people whom I reared, whom I raised, don't know me. Don't understand who I am to them when they rebel against me. After all, I am their heavenly Father, the Holy One of Israel, their Lord. Only desires what is best for them. So when we rebel against God, we act as if we don't even know our Father. We don't know him at all and what he desires for us. No wonder God gets upset when we sin, when we do the things that do not please him. But also God gets upset because of what we become when we rebel against him. In 1 Peter 2, verse 19, we get a description of us, his people, his children. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's what we are as children of God, whom he has called, saved, given his life for. And when we rebel against God, who do we become? Well, verse 4 tells us, "Ah, sinful nation," listen to these words, "Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on him, on their father." We become something other than God's children. We become something other than what he has given his life to make us and to save us to be. We've almost said of God, I want to be something else, God, because what you have made me into is not good enough. I want to be something else, God, because your love, your grace, your mercy in my life is not valuable to me anymore. There's other things in this world that are more valuable to me. All your parenting love and care and instruction in my life, you can take it back. I don't want it anymore. And so we become, when we rebel against God, a people who are not God's children. He also gets upset because of our foolishness. Verse 5 begins with God asking the question of his people, well, why do you persist in your rebellion? He asks that question because he wants them to see where their rebellion has gotten them. Where's your disobedience? Where's your waywardness gotten you throughout the years? And then in the rest of verse 5 through to verse 9, God paints for them a picture of their current status as people who've rebelled against God, turned their backs against their Father. He first describes them as a body, a person who's been beaten up. You can read that in verse 5 to 6. It's a mess. You're a mess, God says, because of your rebellion. Instead of having my protection over your lives and you flourishing to be the people that I want you to be, no, you've been beaten up. Listen to this. Your head is injured. Your heart is afflicted. There is no soundness in your body anymore. Instead, you've only got wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. You become damaged, and yet you continue to rebel. You continue to spurn all my good and my kindness towards you. Jesus, or God, goes on to describe their land for them as a picture of where their rebellion has gotten them. He says to them, your land has become desolate. Your cities burnt with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before your very eyes. Your land is laid waste and overthrown by strangers. This very land that was given to Israel, given to God's people for them to enjoy the benefits of God's grace and his mercy in their lives, for them to consider to be a land of their own, in which they can come become the people God wanted them to become. What's happened to it? Well, God has allowed foreigners and strangers to strip it bare. He's allowed cities to be burnt down. He's allowed nations to come and have benefit of this land instead of his people. He says, your rebellion is causing your neighbors to profit from this land, and you are like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. No one wants to live there anymore. No one wants to be there anymore. You see, shelters and vineyards and huts and melon fields were built for the harvesters during the harvest season so that they could stay there in the land, wake up early, harvest the fields, have a place to rest in the afternoon and in the evening. But it was these shelters that were just a time for the harvest time. After that, they would go back to their own homes. And these huts and places would be places where nobody wanted to stay. Just like no one wanted to be in a city that's under siege, that is being starved of its goodness. It's not a place to live anymore. God says to his people, when you rebel against me, look at your land. Where has it gotten you? How foolish you are to think you can continue to rebel and not enjoy my protection, my favor, and my blessing on your life. So God gets upset with his people when they rebel against him. So upset that in fact in verse 9, the writer writes, unless this God of ours, this Father of ours, left some survivors in this land, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities he completely destroyed because of their rebellion towards him. Our Heavenly Father is a holy God. He's a pure Father. He only wants what is best for us. But friends, we learn that he will have nothing to do with our rebellion towards him. He doesn't want us to sin against him, to go our own way, to do what we think is right. Friends, as our Father gets upset with us when we rebel against him, we also learn how we ought to respond to him. How to respond to this God when things in our lives seem to not have God's favor, God's blessing on us because of our rebellion. And the first thing we learn is this as well. We learn that God hates it when we become hypocritical repenters. God hates it when we become hypocritical repenters. I know as a father to my boys, I hate it when they go on and on about how they're sorry because of what they've done, but in the next few moments, they're doing the same thing. I expect if they're sorry, really sorry for what they've done, they will not do it again. But sometimes I find them just saying sorry because they know that's going to just kind of appease dad's anger for a moment. And then they can carry on living their lives the way they want them to be lived. This is how the people of God were treating God, their Father. They would say sorry by trying to please God with the things they would do, with no intention at all of actually turning away from their rebellious ways. They were trying to please God by doing what they knew God would be pleased with, what he instructed them to do. Offer sacrifices, giving offerings to God, observing ceremonial days, making prayers to God. All these attempts to appease God's anger, but not an attempt to turn away from their sinful ways. So they were hypocritical repenters, hypocritical worshippers of God. But listen to God's response to their hypocritical attempts. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. God says, stop bringing meaningless offerings to me. Your incense is detestable to me. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. My soul hates them and they become a burden to me. I am weary of carrying them. Your prayers I will hide my eyes from. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Does that sound like a father who's pleased with his children? No, of course not. God is angered when we think we can do things and say things to appease his anger and adorn his favor and yet carry on living our rebellious ways. God hates it when we become hypocritical repenters. And we should never think that our religious duties are a substitute for a heart for God and his ways. But finally, we also learn that at the very heart of this Father that we have, who only wants the best for us, is a heart that longs for genuine repentance. Heart that longs for genuine repentance is the heart of our Heavenly Father. How do I know that? Well, I know that as a parent myself. When I see my boys rebelling against me and against Mom, deep down inside my heart is that they would just turn from those ways in repentance and do what Mom and Dad want them to do. I kind of identify with what God's heart must feel like for us when we rebel against him. He longs for us to turn away from our rebellious ways. He longs that we would try our utmost to do what he wants us to do and to be genuinely sorry when we mess up, when we do fail him. Well, only through our future behavior do we discover if we genuinely have repented of God, when we discover that our lives are living in accordance with what He wants of us. He says to His rebellious people, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong and learn to do what is right." That's part of repentance, genuine repentance. It's a turning away from the things that we do that displease God. But the other part of repentance is turning to do what is right before God. And God goes on to say, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Obviously, these are the things that displease God most about, because they weren't doing them in His sight. He wanted genuine repentance for His children. That was what His heart was longing for. But the point is that genuine repentance, true turning away from sin or rebellion, must be coupled with a seeking after what pleases God. God says, if you do this, if you genuinely repent, if you genuinely turn away and seek the things that I desire for you, my favor, my blessing will once again be upon your lives. He says, your sins that were like scarlet shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be like wool. In other words, your rebellion, which stood out and caused so much heartache and pain for you, will be forgotten. I'll forgive you for those sins. I will remember them no more. You see, God will respond to true repentance with true forgiveness. At the heart of God's heart for repentance for us is a heart that longs to pour out His forgiveness upon us. Because in forgiveness, we start to experience the blessings and the favor of God on our lives. God's heart for us is true forgiveness. He longs for us to turn from our evil ways and turn to what He desires for us. And when we do that, we will experience an outpouring of His forgiveness on our lives. We will enjoy His favor, His blessing upon us, both now and forevermore. And friends, this is the truth this evening from this passage of God, of a glimpse into God's heart for you and I as His children. He longs for genuine repentance in us. He longs to pour out forgiveness on us. We see that in Him sending His Son Jesus Christ to us, the very means in which we can embrace the forgiveness of God. Rebellion, sinning against God, upsets God, makes Him angry with us. But in His Son Jesus Christ, there is the offer of forgiveness. If we would genuinely repent and turn from our sins. True repentance, a turning away from the things that displease God to the things that please God, will enable us to enjoy the blessings and the favor of God on our lives, even through the difficult times that we face here on earth, even through the challenges that seem insurmountable. Even through the times that we might even feel that God is far from us. Genuine repentance, a seeking to do what God wants for us, is His heart as a Father for us. And if we as His children would just obey and surrender our lives in true repentance, we will experience true forgiveness and everything a father desires for his children. Which I know as a father, and you might know as a parent, is only the best for our children.
Let's pray together.